Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. It's Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk. And this is actually a live podcast. This is happening on Thanksgiving Day. And I just wanted to, give a Thanksgiving shout-out to everybody. And just let you know that P4P Real Talk and P4P everything is just so thankful for what's been happening with the natural community and what everybody has been doing in their part to actually help uplift natural bodybuilding. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, let's talk. And today, like I said, it's Thanksgiving. Everybody's been celebrating, hopefully. There's a lot of people that don't get to celebrate in the ways that we are accustomed to. And there's a lot of things going on in this world right now that don't really seem like Thanksgiving at all. But for the few that do have the opportunity to enjoy the family, to enjoy their friends, to enjoy the time where you can just mellow out, de-stress. Well, some family members, be honest, they actually bring the stress level up along with the blood pressure and the heart rate. But all that aside, it's a day for people to gather together and be of a like mind and understand that, we're still family. And I think in the natural community, that's a big component for why we do what we do and who we are and why we are who we are. And there's a lot of things that just go on in the world that just help and remind us why the fitness family is just so important to us. Because we do need that connection. We do need that positive outlet. And we do need that recharge mentally and physically when we gather around and get together to enjoy each other's company. Because it's a competition, yes, but it's also a family gathering, just people that aren't related by blood. And when you step into the venues, there is that electricity. When you have a good venue, when you step into a show that's basically everything you wanted and more as far as dealing with people, being treated fair, being, addressed as a human being, that's important. And then when you get backstage and you can actually meet the people that have been there for you, whether through social media or actually in physical presence, these things make a big part of why we keep doing what we're doing and the support we keep giving each other to do what we do. And that's a blessing in itself. And when you have that opportunity to share with each other these opportunities, make the most of it. Because just like Thanksgiving, that day goes away. But the feelings are with you for your life because that's who you are. And as we go through these times, it's easy to sometimes forget that Thanksgiving is a day of thanks. And for me at the show and the venue, that's a day of thanks because I'm gathered with people that have basically changed their lives. And think about that in a good way. They've changed their lives in a good way. And that's so important. Without it, we're just meeting in a room and competing. And what good is that if there's no connection as to the why? We share so much when we do what we do that it's kind of funny how it just grows and progresses year after year because we grow and progress. And I'm actually going to be joined by a young man who's just doing his thing. And he's kind of a man of mystery. I said if he had to be a superhero, he'd probably be the Question. And if you're not a DC comic fan, you probably wouldn't know what that one is. This guy can take on many roles and many forms because you can't just pigeonhole him in some avenue or some spot where you can say, well, that and a bodybuilder. He's going to be that and then some. So, Jeremy, if you could just introduce yourself, and we'll get this show started.
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
All right, man.
Can you hear me? Oh, I know if you can hear me. Okay.
I can hear you just fine.
All right, yeah. Well, I'm Jeremy Coleman. What do you want me to start?
Well, give them the background. Let them know about the things that have been going on in your life and what keeps you coming back to stage and basically just popping up and blowing the show away with your stage presence.
I wouldn't say all that, but no, actually, I just competed, you know, in that actually two shows I did, that 2015 Mike Matarazzo Classic NPC and the NPC Mid-Atlantic, was it West Virginia, over in West Virginia. So I placed first place in the open lightweight for that Mike Matarazzo, and then I placed first place open welterweight in Virginia. So.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting shows. You know, go ahead.
Well, I've been blessed to see you actually compete in person, and I always joke about that show because I said that was one of those where the fitness family is very small. People, it's a lot of names involved in it, but it's very small because the fact that it's somebody that knows somebody that knows you. And you don't get too far. I doubt you could get on five fingers before you'd get to a connection to somebody that could connect you to somebody out in California or me to somebody out in Virginia. You know, it just runs that way. And Ryan Doris was one of the people that, we're connected to. And he had asked me, and then I had asked you, and then you showed up at the show and showed out. And that was the Great Lakes Supernatural.
Yep. And 2012, I believe. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Yep.
You had one of the night routines where I actually heard screaming to the point that it didn't sound like a bodybuilding show anymore. It almost sounded like a rock concert.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've kind of been known to do that, and they say I'm supposedly Black Lavender when I get on stage. So,
I would have to agree because I mean, you as humble as you are in street clothing, it's just the opposite and more when you actually step on stage. Now, is that a conscious choice, or is that something you do to basically keep the balance?
Well, the thing is, it is a bodybuilding show. So, therefore, you know, we see, let's be honest, most people kind of do the same thing, get up, hit a few poses, you know, a few crabbles, muscles, a few bicep shots, and walk off. You see that over and over and over, it gets boring. And as the statement goes, the more you fit in, the less you notice. So, when you get in, when I get out there, you know, the music hits, you know, I just try to add a little more flair to it, be a little more, you know, add something to it, even if it's not, sometimes I've gone a little bit over the top. Like, I remember now, I think it was 2008, one of the promoters, he still tells the story to this day. He was saying that, so he said something along the lines of, ladies, are you ready? It's bodybuilding. It's the guys are going to be on stage. They're going to be dancing, this, that, and other. But he said, no, I'm just kidding. It's really a nice show. Then I go out there and did exactly the opposite of what he said. So that was, I think it was Mike Newman. He'll probably remember it. Because actually, I think that's the first show where I met him, and I was like the second competitor out. So, but yes, it's something, just add a little entertainment to it, and people remember it because I know people, they kind of tease me about that. So, oh, here we go. Look who's about to come on stage now. And, you know, some of the promoters, you know, who I'm talking about, the guy on the stage, oh, brother, here we go. Get ready for a post and extraordinaire right here.
Yes, indeed. And I'm a witness. That it is, I mean, like, I would put it along the lines of Emoji Alua, Phil Ricardo, you know, or Martin Daniels, where it's just so well done. I mean, you have made it a true art, and I'm thankful for that, because it's something that does draw the crowd in, and it they remember that. You know, as much as people would like to, some people would like to do away with the night routines.
Yeah.
There are people out there that without it, they wouldn't show up. And I mean,
yeah,
this is what I'm hearing, not from competitors, not from bodybuilders, but from just people that are general viewers. They follow the sport just to follow the sport. They don't want to be a competitor. They don't want to be stepping on stage. They have no interest in anything other than a gym membership and an everyday now and then workout to be healthy and fit. But they do appreciate and respect natural bodybuilding. And that in itself says that we've grown, because usually it used to be an in-house thing, and it was so underground simply because it was just an in-house thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, too, for me, like I said, I don't think I'm necessarily the best poser. It's not so much that, but I think just because I'm more fluid with it, and it just kind of flows, versus some people are very rigid, very nervous on stage, and it's kind of projected when you're looking at it, man, it's kind of awkward posing, or it looks weird. But when you flow it, it's somebody who doesn't really know what to look for. Like, oh, wow, look at him. Why is he moving like that? Why nobody else is moving like that? So.
Mm-hmm. True. And you know, what brought that about? Yeah, I have to laugh sometimes, because like you said, there is a certain it's a certain way that the night routine goes, and then you have that oh wow factor that just changes everything. And I'm honest, I'll be honest, I'd hate to come after your routine, because it's like, well, basically before I even get out there.
Well, it was like after that, because the West Virginia was kind of like that too. I did something, and I started off, well, I wanted them to start my music, but it didn't start the way I wanted it to. So it kind of threw me off a bit. I was like, all right, well, let me entertain a little bit. And then all of a sudden the crowd started to get into it, like, oh, and then they actually let my music play. Cause it was, I think we had, I believe it was 70 seconds. And my CD was actually longer than that, and they didn't stop it. So I just kept going. So that was kind of, because usually when I've done MPC shows, they just cut it off. And I'm just like, oh, well, so what? But this particular show, they just let it play. So I just kept going.
And so I got a good,
so what is, now, I mean, at the same time. Okay.
You've got the symmetry to make those routines mesh. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It's not just somebody getting out there that can do moves. You really bring the hammer when it comes to stepping on stage and the physique. So it's not like you take that for granted and hope your routine is what saves you. You basically bring the total package.
Well, I can admit that conditioning is still not where I'd like it to be. That's why I kind of struggle, to be honest. That's why my little deficiency. But, I mean, I've always been a believer in the total package. I mean, that's one thing about some of the natural shows, that it's a lot of emphasis placed on conditioning. You know, you see that, but, and I think that's one reason why I kind of like the NPC a little bit better, because that's a factor, but it's not the sole factor. You know,
mm-hmm.
You have to look at the totality. For example, like one of my favorite bodybuilders is Bob Paris. You know, I look at him, he wasn't the most conditioned guy. He's not the biggest guy, but the symmetry, how he flowed, how he posed, the balance, that's what brought me in, versus like, you know, some of the more mass monsters or some of the guys who, you know, are ultra conditioned or ultra huge, you know, for them, like a Dorian Yates, Ronnie Coleman, Phil Heath, guys like that. They're impressive, but I never was really brought into it because of that. That's not what really attracted me. It was more guys, more the smaller, more balanced physiques that got me, like I said, Bob Paris, Lee Labrada, Richard Jones, guy who won the, he won his IFBB Pro Card, I believe, the 2003 USA Championships, light heavyweight and overall champion. Guys that like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what always impressed me and what drew me in. So.
Well, it's working for you, because, I mean, my goodness. And, you know, they always see you, and then they see you take your clothes off, and then they realize, you know, it's going to be a battle. And
well, I'm... That, you know, well, I'm not the biggest guy. I mean, I'm 100 and, let's see, I weighed in at 151.8, actually, at the Mike Matarazzo Classic, you know. So I'm not a big guy by any stretch of the means. It's like a high school weight. But at the same time, you know, I think it's a balance. And then I'm supposedly look a lot bigger on stage, or I have one of stage physiques where things look bigger than 151. Yes. So
much bigger.
It's all illusion. It's all illusion.
It's got to be funny when you hear people that say, you know, oh, I know he's using. And then they see outside you, and they're like, wait a minute.
All the time. I've been accused of everything under the sun, drugs. From, let's see, growth hormone, this kind of steroid, to this cutting drug, to this mask agent, you know, or I'm cutting, or I'm, if I get tested, the only reason I pass is because I'm not taking it at that time. So I've heard it all.
I'm sorry, that's funny, because, you know, well, okay, but yeah.
Or like they'll, you know, in your face, like, oh, you look great, but then, you know, behind the back, yeah, I know he's using something. He just don't want to tell anybody, but I know he's using it.
Yes.
Yeah. But you get used to it. It just gets to a point that it's, you just kind of laugh at it. So basically it means obviously you're doing a good job if all these people are assuming or like making a point that he's definitely using, or that, you know, the term people use, the fake natty and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And, and I remember for a while you and Doris used to just run the pages where they said, you know, why do you guys keep trying to support these guys when they're the fake natural, whatever? And I said, you know, you could always tell that they had no clue as to what they were talking about, because the things that they were accusing you guys of using would have had you three times the size that you walk around as, even on in the off season.
Yeah.
It's like the ignorance would almost overflow to the point you had to chuckle for anybody that knew the sport or knew anything about biomechanics and muscle function.
Yeah. I mean, just the look. I mean, I understand if you, it's one of those things where if somebody looks better than you, they must be using something. You know, you can't look better. It can't be the hard work. It can't be the years and years of doing it. It's because you're doing something that they're not doing. You look better than them. So the assumption is you must be doing something. So, because they don't see the groundwork or the work in the trenches. They just see what's in front of them, and they don't know the story. Like for me, example, you know, I used to wrestle. You know, I was in the Marine Corps. I used to do gymnastics. So I got a lot of athletics in me, and baseball, softball. So I've done a lot of sports, athletics my whole life. So I think that contributes to a lot of it.
Yes, there's something. Well, there's two things that you touched on that I can speak on with you, because there were guys when I was in high school that looked a certain way, and then when they started using, they kind of became big real quick. And in the military, the same thing, where they just kind of blew up overnight. And you kind of know what to look for, and there's an attitude that comes with it, because I really don't want to do that correlation, so I'll just leave that one alone. I'll send you in a text. Yeah, I'll send that to you in a text. But they get a change of mind, and I'm not talking about the roid rage or nothing like that.
Right.
It's just like a really cocky, confident attitude.
Hey, everybody, look at me, attitude. Or the way the sleeves just cut off at the shoulders for no reason. You know,
exactly.
You know, flexing and look at how big I am. You know, certain pitches, I want to take pitches over because I don't look big and it's not my good side. You know, things like that.
And
you know who I'm talking
about. Yeah, exactly. And it's funny to me because, like, I said, for you to compare me to that, or compare Jeremy to that, or compare Doris to that, I'm thinking, you guys have actually stepped up to a point where you don't match the Planet Fitness premise of the gym fitiate, you know, because regardless whether we want to admit it or not, Planet Fitness doesn't happen without the gym jerk, you know, and nobody basically putting him in his place. If that person exists Planet Fitness doesn't happen, because that's their whole premise, is basically trashing anybody that's basically super cocky and super egotistical. And you don't fit that mold. Doris doesn't fit that mold. And you guys have found ways to challenge yourself other than basically belittling your fellow man, you know, to keep it in a layman's speak.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not about that. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's, you know, there's always going to be somebody better than you. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, and just because you're better doesn't mean, you know, as a person you're better, you're superior. But being that this is something we both, Ryan and I both had success in, I know we share the information and, you know, that's how it should be. Each one teach one. That's really how it should be. And, you know, just because I'm better at maybe at this sport, you're better. The other person may be better at something else. That's just the way it is.
Yes.
You know, and there's no reason to, just because you're better, you don't have to be braggadocious about it, you know, poke your chest out, hey, look at me, and check this out, and, you know, and it's very unbecoming, and that's one reason why people who compete or, you know, do bodybuilding or anything like that get such a bad reputation, saying, you know, you're arrogant, douchebag, you're this, you're that, you're cocky, what do they call it, the imaginary lat syndrome, your arms all flared out, for what?
It
just gives it a bad name, and then, for example, if somebody says, oh, I compete, like, oh, well, you must be on drugs, or you're arrogant, or you know, all these stereotypes that go along with it. And in some cases, yeah, that is the case, but that's not for everybody.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I've seen, and since Doris isn't here, I won't speak up for him other than saying I've seen him challenge and find the mental way to basically destroy him without lifting a finger. And now since you're here, I can definitely speak up for you, because I've seen where, you know, people were basically pushing you to do a show that you weren't ready to do, and you knew you weren't mentally ready to do, even if they thought you were physically ready. Yeah. And they became frustrated with you and almost jumped, you know, verbally jumped on you, and you defeated it and diffused it in a way that was so un-bodybuilding. It was, you know, it was to be applauded.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You can't let, you know, this is my journey. It's not yours. So what I choose to do, I'm going to do it. You know, whether you may, because there's people that I'll say, oh, you should do a show. You should do this. You should do that. If I'm not mentally ready, or I'm not in the right mindset, I'm not where I want to be, I'm not going to do it. Because when I get on the stage and, you know, just stay and trying to either come better or, you know, at least in my mind, bring a better package than what I did last time. So that's the thing. You're in that confidence to improve. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, yeah, I could probably get on stage, you know, and still do decent if I didn't, you know, just kind of went through the motions. Yeah, I could, but that's not good enough in my mind.
Yeah, I said the elite bodybuilders are something truly special, because you guys have that, what I call that dare gear. It's just another level, another. It's like that where the knob's supposed to go to 10, but y'all go to 15.
Yeah.
You just find that way. You know, where everybody else would say, you know, it's a little bit rough, I'm going to ease off the gas pedal. You guys said, you know, cruise control ain't enough. Let's go a little bit harder. And that's special. You know, you see it when you see it, and it changes the game, because, you know, regardless what these people are doing, whether it be gear or no gear, it's still something to see somebody that's figured it out. And, you know, that makes you special. You know, like, people think that would make you cocky, but that actually made you guys go just the opposite, where you say, okay, now I got to work even harder. And that's elite thinking. That's not normal.
Yeah, you want to, as the statement goes, champions do what contenders don't.
Yeah.
So
that's basically it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really special. It's so good, because it's that constant reminder of what needs to happen for us to improve.
Yeah, I mean, and then too, I mean, I'd like to think of myself as somebody who can encourage people to, you know, not necessarily step on stage, but to improve their physique. You know, I've done that. I used to be a small kid, a skinny kid. I was all that. I was, week and all that kind of stuff. So I've been there. So I didn't start, you know, because a lot of people think, oh, it's all genetic. You just genetically gifted. No, I mean, yeah, it does play a part in it, but at the same time, you still have to put in work.
Well,
you know, it takes time. It takes years. It takes consistency. That's one thing a lot of people overlook is the consistency. Yeah, there's some people that it will happen fast for, but for the vast majority of people, it's not. To be at a certain level, it takes time. It takes years and years of consistency. You know, so, and a lot of people overlook that. They just assume, oh, you look like that. Oh, it's just all genetics. Or you just, you know, all drugs, whatever.
Yeah, I have an issue with the genetic thing because I said, you know, I was a skinny kid growing up all my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said, all that, when did the genetics start? Is it like X genes for the mutants and the X-Men? I mean, how do we do that? Is it a certain age where it kicks in and all of a sudden, you know, we just start sneezing and muscles start popping out? Or
yeah,
do we do the work? And then, you know, then that stuff starts. Because I said, without the work, how do you know? And without the motivation, how do you grow? Because it just doesn't. Genetics is like, to me, is like another cop out, another excuse about why things can't happen. I said, because if I don't push me, how do you know? You know, because I said, I used to hate hearing the word. To me, genetics is like saying potential.
Yeah.
Without the work, what good is it?
Yeah, but at the same time, to a certain level, genetics, I believe, does play a factor in it, and that's more so with muscle shape, muscle insertions, conditioning, and how you look on stage.
Agreed.
That plays a part, but that's not the end-all, be-all genetics.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I've seen hard work, outwork potential in genetics a whole bunch of shows.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then
so
there's some people who
motivation, you, to get that work, what good is it? You know, I said this is what keeps a lot of people from getting to stage. They could be great assets to the community because they're basically talked out of it by saying, oh, well, this guy's got great genetics. Well, where does the work play in fact?
Yeah, I mean, that's for me. I get it constantly. Oh, you got genetics. You got the small waist. You got a small wrist. And you got a big chest and back and all that stuff. I said, well, that does help. And then I do admit there are some people who genetically don't have the best shape and probably are only their shelf life is they can only go so far with it. But that doesn't mean you can't bring the best you to the stage. And the best you might actually be somebody with the best genetics if they're off. You never know. People are off. People don't bring their best all the time. Some people, you know, come in with the wrong mindset. Oh, I got this show, and then they get beat. Seen that happen quite a few times. People that probably should have won if they weren't shooting, but they're not, and they get beat by somebody who not the best genetics, probably not gonna be a top pro or anything like that. But that day, they brought it. The best, their best, beat the genetically supposed gifted person.
That's right. I saw that happen at the 2013 OCB Midwest States, where this guy walked in the gym, not in the gym, the venue, and he had the best physique there.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't pose a lick, and he couldn't show his best physique. And
exactly.
He had genetics for days, but this guy that did all the work got first place. And then, you know, I had a chance to speak with the fella, and I asked him, I said, well, what the heck happened that you can't pose any better than that? And, you know, this is backstage, so I could basically ask him anything I wanted.
Right.
I'm not going to say a name because that serves no purpose. But his answer was, I've been doing all these shows, which were smaller organizations, and he was winning. And so he figured, you know, this is going to be a cakewalk just like all the rest of them. And he took a day off, and he got his butt kicked. He got fifth place at the end of the day.
Yeah, and then, you know, I mean, even me, I experienced that. When I first started out, I was winning. You know, I did the MPC, I won. I did the NANBF, I won. And I did the, I think it was the NGA, I think it was 2009. I got second. You know, and I was like, what do you mean I got second? But I kind of came. I came in, you know, and the guy beat me. I mean, some people said I should have won, but you know, it happens. I didn't, you know, I made some mistakes. I probably. Can we say names of somebody who kind of put me in my place? He didn't beat. Well, he would have beat me.
Yeah, you class. Can say names.
I'm gonna say it because I know he doesn't believe me, but Ben Goins. I put him on blast. He was the first guy I remember. He was in the Marine Corps too, but he was the first guy I remember when I saw him backstage. I was like, wow, I dropped the ball. I dropped the ball. I was like, ooh, wow. Luckily, he wasn't in my class, but if he was, he would have beat me. But when I saw him, it kind of totally put what I need to be looking like on stage, you know, as far as conditioning. You know, cause I think I got a little bit complacent, you know, because I got good reviews like in NPC. They're like, yeah, you got so much potential. We can see this and you, we can see that. But when I saw him, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I remember him. And I believe it was Lane Norton was there, too. I think that's they were working together at that time, I believe. And I was like, wow. It totally ruined everything. I was totally like, oh, man, this guy is going to smoke me. I've never seen anything like this. So, and ever since then, I've always like, yeah, I need to don't come in like that with that, you know, that complacent mindset, even though I had, you know, past prior success, but it just kind of keeps you like, okay, it kind of humbles you down too, you know, to take a beat and get beat. I think at least for me, it did. And you get beat like that.
Yeah.
And sometimes like in the NPC, same thing, you know, I've done well in NPC. I mean, I've won my class just about every time, but when I'm in the overall, like this, few weekends ago, the guy who won overall was a super heavyweight, but I think he's like 261 pounds or something like that. And I was like, whoa, oh, man, jeez, I got to get myself together. You know, granted, I'm not going to beat him, no, but that doesn't mean I can't be more competitive with him.
Exactly.
You know, and he might be off one day. That one day.
Well, you know, and I liken that to you never know who's going to show up. But you know you're showing up. And I can't understand why people keep, it's like, it's almost like they keep that room for doubt by not pushing their best. But when they lose, you know, I should have lost. And I said, well, it sounds more like you're saying somebody should give you something rather than you win it. You know, because I am who I am, I should win. And I don't understand that thing. There's people out there that have that in their heart.
And I mean, I would be upset if I get beat by somebody who in my mind, I feel I should be beating. But if somebody's better than me that day, they look the part, I don't have a problem with it. It's like, okay, I don't want to be awarded just because of who I am.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another reason, too. Like, I went out of state, like I said, just, was it 2 weeks ago? I did that NPC Virginia show. No one knew who I was. You know, I went in and won the welterweight class. Plain and simple. Out of state, you know, untested NPC show went in. You know, they had me in the middle for the overall for a little bit. I was kind of happy, like, oh man, they messed up now. But then I got moved. Well, actually, because I got moved to the middle, I was like, oh, wait a minute. But they didn't move me out. I got excited. But it didn't work out that way.
But you're still doing the things that people said you couldn't do as a natural. And I think that's what's important, is that you can step out there and be you and still be you. Because, you know, I think that's what some people – for you it's not an act, I guess the best way to say it. It never has been. For you it's always been hard work and results.
Yeah, and I mean, and like I said, the NPC, I guess because – The guys, when I first started, that's my first show was an NPC. And then growing up, when I started kind of looking at bodybuilding, that's all I knew. I didn't know about natural bodybuilding or anything. I just knew NPC because the guys who I looked up to, or I saw, because I remember back in the day, they used to have them like ESPN.
Yes.
they used to have like the Team Universe on ESPN. And I was like, oh, wow, look at them. And that was NPC. So I kind of, that's all I knew.
Yeah,
so I figured, well, that's what they're doing. I probably need to do that, too.
I can imagine. And you've been holding your own, I tell you. You've been definitely holding your own.
Well, still work needs to be done. Still improvements always to be made, but I try to get better. I know it's tough. I'm getting older, so it's not so easy.
Yeah, that's true. But it's you know, I always tell everybody, thank God for muscle maturity, because woo, that's a blessing. I mean, like you can still lift the gym. I had to basically start lifting weights. Yeah, but I got to tell this story because it's funny to me. And a lot of people, you know, they don't. Competitors compete in a friendly way, but they compete all the time.
Yeah.
And there's a fellow we both know.
Oh,
that,
I know. I know. Yep.
I'll let you tell it.
Well, go ahead and tell it. I know.
Okay. We're it just tickled me because he was so ready for us all to get together and just get that workout in. And I was excited too. I'm sure everybody, you know, that had a chance to wanted to be a part of that, because how often do you get you know, good bodybuilding, good spotters, good lift, basically just positive energy all throughout the gym.
Right.
So all of us were excited. I get it. But he was so overjoyed, along with all of us, to get that workout in. But when he saw the weight you were throwing around, it kind of took the wind out of his sails. And it was funny because he was so hyped to do it, and all of a sudden then, it's like, well, you know, don't take that picture. I don't want to be in that picture. And then don't show that video. And then, like, when his camera, all of a sudden the video disappeared. And I said, all right, we got the Kennedy tapes where nobody knows where the video is. I said, you know, it took 6 months, 6-8 months?
Yeah,
no,
about
I think about
6 months. Yeah. It might have been. It was a while. I remember it was a while.
Yeah. And I said, you know, people had been asking for that because we had talked about it on Midwest Muscle, and they were basically calling me a liar, like, man, you ain't got any workout. And I think it was one picture we took, and I had to post. And then you basically coming on Midwest Muscle and backing me up to say the guy ain't lying. It really happened.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that was, what, what, 3 years ago? About 3 years ago.
Yes, and that was when we were talking about basically how to get normal society more involved in good health and fitness, since it was starting to disappear out of the schools and the public forums.
Right. Yeah, I remember
I remember that one.
Yeah, the thing is, it's not even about that, you know, honestly, because I said, I think, you know, the only reason I could do it too is because I'm short. I got short arms. That's the only reason. I'm short, got short arms. That's it.
Okay, that's what you want to say. We'll go with.
That's what, allegedly, that's what it is. That's the only reason. But the thing is, it's not even about that. I mean, the thing is, you want to develop the muscles, you know, time under tension, you know, overloading the muscle. There's various ways to develop muscle. And some people have, you know, better leverage or been doing it longer, better technique. It's a lot of different factors that go into that. So, I mean, strength, you know, that's relative to the person.
Very,
you know,
true.
And of course, and then some people, you know, they got to have it. They got to be strong and doing something they really probably shouldn't be doing, but, you know, they got to do it because somebody else is doing it.
Yes.
So they feel intimidated.
That's the biggest thing that sends people home from the gym.
Oh, yeah.
The
ego
post
lifting.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. That ego lifting, because I know, and that's the thing with certain people, you know, that I've trained with over the years, you know, they'll see what I do, so, oh, well, he's doing it. And I know good and well they don't need to be doing that weight, but yet they try. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that's what you want to do, so be it. Go on ahead, tear your spine up. You know,
because it might sound cold-hearted, but it's not, because basically you waste your whole day trying to keep people from doing what they're going to do anyway. Because basically they'll say, well, I'll just go ahead and work out over here. At least if they're around you, you can still jump in before it's too late.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot, of course, I forgot about the excuse, too. Like, oh, I used to do this all the time, just so you know. You know,
yeah.
You got to throw that in there, of course. that's another one of
exactly.
my favorites. Oh, I used to do this. Oh, I know somebody who can do this, or who does this all the time. That, too. Or if I wasn't hurt or I didn't sleep well last night, or I was out, so I can't do it. But normally I do this all the time, just so you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you have to laugh. Because it's like, no, you don't. No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
Well, since
that,
it's Thanksgiving. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that, and of course, the other one that gets me, too, is the body fat one. That's another one of my favorites. Like, oh, I'm like 2% body fat. Or I used to walk around at 1% body fat all the time.
Yeah, you know that.
Like, okay, great. Oh, I know. It's like, great. And why'd I need to know this? No.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's another one I get a lot. You know, people in the gym. Oh yeah, I used to always walk around 4%, 3%, 2%, 1.9%. You know, it's these random percentages, which it doesn't matter. It's like, okay, great. I mean, how does that impact what you're doing now, or what we're doing, or what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, so.
What are you getting at?
Yeah, and that's something, and just the fact that you have to broadcast that, so I know, and it's really, I really don't understand that. I never did, but that's another one I get in the gym, too. I'd say probably those are probably the two biggest things I see is people who do way too much weight trying to show off and about how lean or what their body fat percentage is.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, it's Thanksgiving, it's the holiday,
mm-hmm.
and Jeremy Coleman just won 2 shows, and you snuck them in. That's why I was saying what I was saying. Yeah, I think you, yeah.
And I was going to say, well, I don't get out there like that. I know a lot of people, you know, post that, oh, I'm 4 weeks out, 10 weeks out. Check me out. Look at my arms. Look at all the gains I'm making. I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could say kind of like Dorian Yates used to do. You know, you'd hear about Flex Wheeler, you hear about Sean Ray, Chris Gormier, Paul DeLette, all of them. But you really didn't hear too much about Dorian Yates. He went over in England, did what he needed to do, did the work, came in, won, left. And that's it.
Yes.
He did the business at hand. That's what I'm focused on, that. Not showing off, not hey, check me out, look at my arms, look at how vascular I'm getting, look at how lean I am now. I mean, that's nice, and some people do that, you know, to promote themselves. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I've never been one like that. I tend to be the guy in the background, just like those shows, you know. You see me when I come into various bodybuilding shows, I don't make a scene. I just walk in, I check it out. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? I'm gone.
Yeah, I almost have to tackle you just to catch you up for an
interview. Yeah, matter of fact, this year, what was that show, that North American, I think it was?
Yeah.
The PNBA North American. Like that, when I came in, you know, see what's going on, and say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? And disappear.
And
I'll snap a few pictures, too. Yeah. But like I said, I'm just not a spotlight kind of guy. I'm not a spotlight kind of guy like that. You know, when it's time,
yeah.
You know, when it's time, you know, like on stage, you know, I perform. But after, beyond that, you know, I just want to, you know, I look at myself as a regular guy. I'm not there. I'm not a celebrity or anything like that. Just a regular guy. I'm a fan of the sport, too. So that's another thing I go
yes,
with.
Yes, you are.
You know. I'm a supporter of people, and some people ask me things. I try to be, you know, share my opinions on things or any knowledge that I have. Not that I have so much, but there are certain things I may know or some experience I've had that I can pass on to others that are up and coming. It's funny because they say I look like a little kid, but I'm actually older than a lot of these competitors. They don't realize that, but I actually am. So.
Exactly. And I think being a fan of the sport because it's so nice. And I think Leif Anderson has tapped into that as well, where he's letting the pros, the DFAC pros right now, come to his FAC shows and not have to pay for entry just to thank them for just showing up. And I said,
yeah,
well,
awesome.
You know, that is something that's pretty much needed. Because, if you do want the people that have the mind to increase the talent at the shows, like you said, by sharing your knowledge, this is where it happens. You know, whether people understand it or not, it's basically a meeting of the minds at a place where it's okay to have the minds meet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, you know, I think it's, you know, good union, and we can, you know, exchange ideas, thoughts, strategies, or whatever. It's a, you know, a gathering of people like-minded that, you know, we can all improve. All of us can improve from that. You know, even pros, amateurs, or whatever. People in the audience, too. You know, because they'll say, oh, I know such and such. And they say, hey, what do you do for this? How do you do this? What do you do? You know, and then you can answer it in a very relaxed environment. Because, you know, some people won't talk to you because you're in the gym. They're like, oh, look at him. He's all working out. I don't want to say anything. But if you see, you know, I'm just sitting down or thinking, you're more approachable, probably more engaging, too, because you're not working out. So you can give them that time or, you know, show them, encourage them to pursue whatever they're trying to do, whether it's step on stage, improve their physique, or whatever.
Yes, and it's so important, you know. I said, you know, we're a group of sharing individuals, but we don't have sometimes the venues to where it's okay to share, because, you know, when you're in prep mode, your time is valuable because basically you're between meals. And when you're at the gym, that's usually your house of solitude where you can, you know, get your mind cleared out and whatever. So it's almost like approach it caution to allow it better.
Yeah, and then some people can get the wrong impression. I mean, say if you're, you know, you're training, they'll be a little hesitant to approach it. Like, I don't know, I don't want to mess up his workout, or he might be mad, or he might get upset because I'm ruining his set, or, you know, something like that. And it's not necessarily like that. So it's just kind of, you know, at the shows, it's a way, you know, it's a lax environment. You can come in there and, you know, we're just sitting around. Because most of the time we just sit around goofing off or whatever. You can come up and talk and not feel intimidated and not feel like you're being judged or belittled or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, because for me, I'm pretty approachable anyway. You know, I don't look intimidating, you know. So some people do approach me because I don't look mean, or I'm not one of those turning it's all loud, you know, clanging and banging the iron, as they say, or, you know, some people are real loud, or they just look mean and veins popping everywhere, because I'm usually pretty covered up, as you've probably seen in some of the videos, and I don't scream, I don't do anything, I do what I need to do, get in, get out.
And you're the exact same way at the shows, too, which is which is nice, you know. I appreciate and respect what you do, just in the way you do it, because you've always made it a point where it was about building anything destructive, and in that, the sport grows, because, you know, if you can be engaging, when it's time to be engaging, it's a lot easier for people to understand the whole point and purpose, and
And more of a human element to it, because some people, you know, they'll put, just because you compete, they'll put you on a pedestal and make it seem as though you're unapproachable. They're kind of scared to approach you and like, I don't know, he's this, he's that, he might be this. And me, I mean, as you know, I'm pretty, pretty easy going. I definitely don't put myself on a pedestal. I'm always talking, you know, I talk down about my flaws, I messed up, or, you know, different things to give a more relatable experiences that I've had, you know, throughout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things that I messed up, you know, or mistakes that I made, you know, trying to lift too much, you know, over dieting, under dieting, too much cardio, poor nutrition selections, bad choices, you know, from everything, all that. I've done it all.
Yeah. And the thing is, they can hear it because they're in a place where they can actually listen, but also it grows. People see that you're human.
Yeah.
And they say, you know, it's something worth trying if this is what I can turn into.
Yeah, I mean, like, I told people, like, for example, I remember my very first show, I forgot, I had a pose routine. I totally forgot it. I totally blanked. I got out there, my music hit. I just kind of had the deer in the headlights. I just kind of standing there. I was like, oh. Like, yeah, it's happened. Because people see me now, and they're like, man, I know you don't get out there and do it. But I said, yeah, I've messed up, totally messed up. Forgotten it. I didn't do what I was planning to do. So it happens. and that we all need spaces. We're human. You know, no one is flawless in their.
I had one that wasn't a mistake. It was just somebody that challenged me that if I competed, then I would actually have to do something. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I think, I believe I was at the airport then.
Yes.
Coming from Colorado, I believe.
Yes.
If I remember correctly. Yeah. And, I think you said something about that. Well, hey, I'll be. Yeah, I said, well, I mean, you're talking about it. Hey, well, let's make it come to fruition.
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, do you want to be a spectator? Or do you want to participate?
Yes.
Okay. And you know, a lot of people.
It's that much different. Yes.
Yeah,
these ideas happen because you are pushing the mind. And that's, you know, a lot of times people think that bodybuilding is about muscle growth, muscle improvement, muscle whatever, but basically it's just focused on the body. And the one thing you always engage people in is to challenge their mind.
Yeah, and that's why I put that challenge to you. I was like, I mean, you talk about it, why not do it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why, you know, we got people on, like, for example, like on SportsCenter, I always talk about the reporters. I said, a lot of reasons those guys reported because they didn't do it. They never stepped to the plate to be athletes. Didn't have what it took. Some of them didn't have what I call the testicular fortitude to do it. Some didn't have the right mindset. Some just were scared. There's a level they call the level of trepidation that they just, I don't know, I'm not good enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not lean enough. I don't have enough muscle. I don't have this. I said, everybody has flaws. There's nobody on this planet who doesn't have a physique that we can pick things apart. What it comes down to is who has the less flaws.
Yeah.
You know, that day. You know, I said, there's nobody who's undefeated unless they did one show or one or two shows. But if you do this consistently or year after year after year, you're going to get beat at times. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. That's such a good point. Thank you. Go ahead.
No, it's true. Yeah, I was just saying, you're going to get beat. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, so it's going to be days somebody looked better than you that day. Or the judges felt that person had better physique than you, or they presented themselves better than you. Not to say they're necessarily better, but that day they were deemed better. Okay, so what?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to drop dead if you lose. I mean, one of the problems that I do see, this is something I see a lot, people base their worth on their placing. I see that a lot. That's younger competitors or amateurs. I've seen that happen where they say, oh, I should have played high. I don't want to do this ever again because I should have been better. I said, maybe you should have, but okay, you lost. Big deal. It happens.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very subjective. I mean, me personally, for example, I'm going to use an example. This past Olympia, you know, I feel he's won. I personally think Sean Roden has a better physique. That's just me. That's just my opinion. But, you know, feel he won, and so be it. I'm sure Sean Roden like, oh, well, I'm not going to do the Olympia ever again because still he beat me. No, I'm sure he probably thinks he could beat him too. So, and he keeps going at it. And if he never beats him, it's not like he's going to lose any, he's not going to lose his life over that. It's not that serious. It's really not. You have to kind of put into perspective and say, yeah, people, I mean, it can hurt a little bit if you get beat. Okay, but at the end of the day, this is not your livelihood. Well, it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many things going on in your life to be overly concerned about a placing at a bodybuilding show, which in most cases you're not making a living out of. This is not something that you have to do. It's not something for that you need to do. This is a choice you made to do. With that being said, you have to accept the good and the bad with it.
Yeah.
Not with anything.
And it's funny to me when you know, growing up in team sports, and there's more than just one game. And there's games that, you know, we had rivals that we really wanted to beat and we lost to, and that's one thing. But to say that, you know, life ends at this moment right now because such and such. And that used to just blow me away because I'm thinking there's always another game, which would mean another show in the bodybuilding community. But you get another chance, like you were saying, it's not the end of the world.
And I'm going to take it a step further. Let's be honest. Most people are going to forget anyway what you did. You know, most people are going to forget. And let's put even better. Bodybuilding is a very, you almost say it's like a cult-like following. There's no Super Bowl. There is no real coverage like that. The Mr. Olympia gets the most coverage. And if you ask 9 out of 10 people on the street, I say maybe 9 probably won't even know who is Mr. Olympia. They know Arnold Schwarzenegger. That maybe Ronald Coleman, maybe. Do people know Phil Heath? Probably not. And he's Mr. Olympia. So your losing is really not that important. It's really not that significant. It really isn't.
Yeah. Good point.
I mean, life goes on.
Exactly. And, you know, the next day you can go to work and people are still happy with the shape that you're doing.
Yeah.
That you're basically bringing to work every day because that's what they see.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then you got to look, too. I mean, even if you place dead last in a show, the general public will think you look phenomenal. They're like, man, I wish I could look like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to look like that. So that's another thing, too, you take into consideration. Just the fact, mere fact you're stepping on stage, you surpass the vast majority of people right off the bat. So placing first or placing dead last, there's still a level of respect that you'll get from the general public or your peers. It can be dead last.
No doubt.
And some people step on stage look like, you know, like a bag of snacks. They do. You know, got man boobs and everything. No tan, can't pose, can't do anything. But even so, they had the grapefruits, put it like that, to step on stage regardless, even if they suck. But they did it. So there's a level of respect, even if they aren't good or they didn't prep properly, that I would give them just for at least trying. You know, you don't know why they look like it. Maybe they didn't know any better. Maybe they just say, you know what, I dropped 100 pounds. They're still fat, but they dropped 100 pounds. So getting on stage is a win for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a lot of different factors to consider, too, versus I came in first or I came in last or such and such beat me and he shouldn't have. You know, it's bigger than that.
It's so much bigger.
And you're getting overly concerned with things.
Yeah, and they do. And it's almost like you said, the end-all, be-all, and you have to wonder, end-all of what? Be-all of what?
Yeah.
You know, where are you going with this? You really got to wonder.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, most people, the next 2 or 3 days, they're going to forget where you played anyway. They don't know, don't care. I mean, the clock keeps on ticking. I mean, it's like, oh, wow. You didn't place. Oh, you're such a horrible human being. Oh, you suck. Your physique is terrible. No, I mean,
exactly.
That's just the nature of the beast. You got beat. Okay, so what?
Well, okay, Jeremy. The show is coming to an end, and it's Thanksgiving holiday. So if you could take the time to say some of the things that you're thankful for, you know, not just in your bodybuilding career, but you know, in life.
Yeah, just to be alive, just to be able to do an interview like this. I said, maybe not a lot of people hear this, but maybe somebody will hear this and, you know, get a different perspective on things. I'm thankful, you know, that I'm employed. I have, you know, family, people who support me, those who, I guess, they care about me, I guess. and, you know, this, you know, my health, you know, everything is going pretty good. I really can't complain. Of course, we all have our little drawbacks and things that we wish could be better. But all in all, I really can't complain. You know, things are going pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always good to hear from you. You know, and like I said, you have the way and out as you please. And it's nervous to the people that have to step on stage with you, but it's a blessing to the people that know, you know, see how much of a fan of the sport you are, because, you know, there are people that win on a consistent basis and will not show up unless they're competing. And that's damaging to the community, because, you know, all right, if they only get to see you on stage, like you said, we never get to interact.
Yeah.
Then what? You know, where are we going with this if we can't be that person to be around? You know, not what I'm saying, like hang out with or take to dinner, nothing like that, but just where you can engage on an even playing field where it's I'm not scared to talk to you as a human being.
I mean, even me, as I said, I go to, you know, I go to NPC shows, then the IFBB shows, I go to, you know, the natural shows, different organizations, so like I said, I'm a fan of it, so, and like I said, I don't mind sharing information, I don't have any secrets that I can't tell, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there really are no secrets, actually.
Well, yeah, that's the truth. And, you know, like, the one thing you taught me way back in the day, is there is no magic pill. There is no pre-workout going to get you through the workout.
Nah.
Basically, if you're not ready to do your work, then don't go. And, you know, that's something I really didn't care because I was always waiting for that that push that could get me to stage where I'd have no fear and no doubt and all those other things. And you were just like, no, if you wait for that day, you'll be waiting till you're dead.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, why not now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, today, you know, I mean, there's no time like the present.
No.
You know, and that's the thing. It's just, a lot of it is just, it's basically involves committing to something. That's really what it comes down to. You just make a commitment and say, okay, I'm going to do this show. Come hell or high water, one way or another, I'm going to get it done. You know, the outcome, it's out of my hands because it's subjective, so it's out of my hands. So I want to bring the best package that I can bring to the stage. It may be a winning physique. It may not be. You may suck. You know, you may suck. You may be the next big thing. Who knows? Unless you try. We don't know.
Exactly. And without
you don't know until you try. And then the thing is, you know, some people, if some people that do it, I know, done that, maybe a show didn't like it, they moved on. So be it. Nothing wrong with that. Some people do it and fall in love, and they can't stop. Some people stay too long. That too. But, you know, they fell in love with it. So, but that's the way, that's the nature of the beast, so to speak.
Well, it's working well for you. It's working really well for you. And I thank you for your time, especially during the holidays, you know, and pulling away from families. But so thank you for that. I just, if you want to take the time to give a shout-out to, you know, the people, because I know your boy, I keep messing up his last name, but I remember the first two initials, DJ.
Who?
DJ, is it Drayford?
Oh, DJ. Are you talking about Jerome?
Yeah, there we go. There we go. I get his name
every
time.
Yeah, I think he just signed with P4P.
Yes, he did.
Yes, sir. That's right. He's going to be y'all next big thing. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's good for him. I think it's really good for him because, I mean, he's just kind of getting into it. We met about 3 years ago, actually in a laundromat. I think he was trying to size me up, but I was like, I'm not the guy. So,
right.
But we were talking. I think at the time he wanted to compete. Well, I don't know if he wanted to compete at that time, but I think it was something he probably thought about but never really put into action. And then I know we talked and we kind of kept in touch, and because actually he was going to wait, I believe, when he turned 50 to do it. And I was like, you may be dead. Why not do it now?
Yes.
And he went on ahead and did it. Look at the success he had. He went on ahead. He did. He won. He did a Virginia with me, too, and he won the middleweight. And then he did that Mike Matarazzo as well, and he won the he won something. I think it was the third, I believe it was. So, yeah, he did real well for himself. Yeah, and, you know, and that's the thing, a leap of faith. And I told him, I said, hey, I'm – you know, because I really wasn't planning on doing anything, but I was like, well, he's doing it, so I guess I should probably hop in, too. It's been 3 years. I mean, maybe I'll get out there myself, see what I can do.
Exactly.
So,
and,
yeah, he did real well for himself.
It's a lot easier to help people along if you can practice what you preach, whether people want to admit that or not.
Yeah, that, and then also, too, just – guided him through it, and so now he's, you know, he's done well for himself, and you know, he's with the P4P, and he's, you know, I think he'll be an asset to the company.
Oh yes,
and also too, being that he's older, that's even
more. Yes,
man, and also too, being that he's a little older, because you know, some people say, "Oh, well, I'm too old to do this." He's an example. He's almost 50 years old, and he's winning. You know, come in winning. So,
yeah, how about that?
That's what I'm saying, and then I think he'll be going for his pro card. I'm pretty sure he'll get it. I'm pretty confident he'll get it.
No doubt. Well, Jeremy, thanks so much. Great show. Great job.
Okay, can I retire now?
You better not. You got three more shows to do, and you know which one.
Three more?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, okay.
You
yeah,
can
it's
do
always
it.
A pleasure. I know we'll talk offline too. So.
Oh yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. I'll send you a text about the what I couldn't talk about on air. Cause,
oh, I know. I know.
Yeah. Okay.
I know. All right.
All
I'll
right.
Talk to you later.
All right,
take care.
All right, bud. Thanks a lot, Jeremy. So, everybody, thanks so much for tuning in, taking your time during the holidays to listen to the show. It's always nice to talk about natural bodybuilding. It's always nice to talk to natural competitors. And it's always nice to just hear that people are making a difference with lives that you just don't expect. But it's a difference made anyway, and it's because you take the time to make that difference. And, you know, Jeremy and Doris had basically been telling me all along, you know, what a great asset I would be to the natural community. And I just, at the time, it didn't make sense to me because for a gym rat, all I really cared about was getting to the gym and exercising. That was my place to unwind and basically feel like the person I like being around. And then they had me turn it up to a level that I didn't even know existed. So, you know, we make a difference in people's lives just off making a difference in our own life. So never be afraid to step out of your comfort zone. Never be afraid to be that person that you don't know yet, but you know about. Because we're all unique. So I'll never be Jeremy Coleman. I'll never be Ryan Doris. But I can be a great Caitlin Patterson if I do the work. And you can be the best you if you do the work. And you don't have to match anybody. You just have to be yourself. And in doing that, you improve the whole world. Because the people around you make up the whole world. And sooner or later, that will make a difference in the whole world. So this is Caitlin Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4B Real Talk, Bez. This is your spot. You get to fill it next week. I'm getting tired. This is Caitlin Patterson. We are out.